It hurts to think about where we're going to be in 6 days, in 6 hours, in 6 minutes, let alone in 6 months. But relax. Let's start with what we can control. Maybe just planning to be okay is enough.
This is Studio Confessions, the art podcast. I am your host, Luis Martin, the art engineer. Listen in for conversations with artists and culture makers as we talk about their creative practice and what moves them. Let me share my wax poetic monologues and how to activate your creativity to live an inspired and more beautiful life. That's right, I said beautiful. Welcome to the studio. I'm glad you're here.
These days, something's been telling me, something's been tugging at my shoulder, like a kid tugging at your shirt, or like a dog barking at your feet quietly. Something's been telling me there's a window of opportunity. You have to escape. Things can't stay the same. This window of opportunity, like many windows, are cyclical. They open up and then they close for a year, for a month, for 10 years, and then they'll open again. And you have to be ready for it. So this feeling inside is telling me, now's your chance. Something has to change. You don't have to leave, but you can't stay here. So I don't know what that means. Sometimes I find myself on the verge of tears, right? Like a 40-year-old man just like sipping his coffee and being like, I think I could burst into tears right now. But that's fine, right? I'm sure you can relate. And I think that comes from a lot of places. We really haven't come to terms with the fact that we're like going through this crazy biblical pandemic and biblical unrest. We're kind of still expected to go and carry on with our day and seem normal and happy, and it kind of just doesn't work. And I know if you're listening to this, you're an artist, you're sensitive, you're empathic. It just doesn't gel. So if you, like me, just kind of want to burst out crying at any moment, feel free. I have my coffee and I'll be here. But in all seriousness, things can't go on the way they used to be or the way they are now. So this window of opportunity is really about creating a new operating system. I was just included in a show that opened this past Saturday at Local Projects in Long Island City. It was curated by a good friend, Juan Hinojosa, and John Baber. It wasn't like any other exhibit I'd ever been in, and of course it's a new day, it's a new world, so there can only be 4 people at a time in the space while everybody was outside kind of socializing. I went really early, so I was kind of, I planned ahead. So I didn't get to meet a lot of other artists, which is part of the whole deal, right? You go to openings, you participate in these group shows to meet other artists, to meet collectors, to socialize, to build a network. But this was a little bit different. But I was so excited about there being an opening and being able to participate. I'm so grateful for the opportunity and the initiative that Local Projects has taken. I mean, it's really a precarious time for arts-centric institutions to stay open. I mean, if a restaurant that sells alcohol can't stay open, imagine what it's like for a place that sells art and culture. So whenever you can, support your local galleries, support your local artists more than anything, really. But it was brilliant. It was so nice to get together and to have an excuse to frame a collage, to put it on a wall, put a price on it, and put it out there in the world. So if you are around in Long Island City, Queens, New York, Local Projects is open with that show called In Between until October. It's on my Instagram feed, and if you want some more information, reach out. And that's how we do it. We throw darts in the dark sometimes, and something eventually will hit. I was speaking to an artist recently on the podcast, Jackie Almaguer, who I found because she was going live for 5 hours at a time, live painting on Instagram. And I just needed to talk to her because, as you know, I also go live on Wednesdays and Sundays for just 30 minutes. And it's awesome and I love it. But there's a certain amount of preparation that needs to come before. So I wanted to know her experience. I wanted to know how she was doing. And first of all, I don't think I've laughed this much, actually, since Juan Hinojosa, because they're both like live wires. They're comedians at heart, amazing communicators, and have a wit. So I'll have to introduce Juan Hinojosa to Jackie Almaguer. So Jackie goes on live for 5 hours at a time and paints. And she is just this awesome artist with so much passion and really so much knowledge about Chicano culture, Mexican culture. She listens to a lot of amazing Mexican music in the background, and it's an experience. And much like my lives, she interacts with the viewer. And that's really fun. That must be my favorite part, really, about going live. So with Jackie, I asked her, you know, what has changed? What happens if we go back, if they find a vaccine and they open the schools, because she's also an artist educator, what happens? Do you just go back to the way it was? And she said, no, I can't possibly go back. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we exist? How do we create a new paradigm, right? And what does that mean? Paradigm is just a fancy way of saying a new way of doing things, a new order, a new operating system. So with Jackie, she's really found a way to connect directly to her audience through Instagram. So before, where she was a teacher, she connected with the kids through the school, but now that the schools are closed, she's doing it directly. And there's so much power in that, right? Again, it comes down to initiative. There's so much power to taking the initiative to show up however you can. She and I do it through Instagram Live. And, you know, that takes a little bit of a leap. For me personally, I kind of had to get over myself, right? Like, oh, my hair or my greasy face or whatever. You get over it. And when you get to the side, you realize that there was nothing there to be afraid of. So I'm really excited to have spoken to Jackie, and I really hope you get to listen to her podcast. It's called En Vivo with Jackie Almaguer. She's really fun, and it's a really good time. I highly recommend it. Just last night, I saw a documentary about the revival of A Chorus Line, and it was heart-wrenching, but I absolutely loved it because it was such a perfect time capsule about artists and the systems in which we operated, past tense, right? Because we can change this now. It's basically a documentation of the process of what it's like for actors and dancers to audition for the revival of The Chorus Line, which happened in the early 2000s. It is gruesome. It is grueling to watch these actors being told to dance, to tweak their attitudes, to try it with less enthusiasm, to try it with more pain, with less vulnerability. I mean, these are humans, right? They're performers, but whoa. I mean, they really put them through the ringer. And if you're a performer, you know this firsthand. And it's similar for visual artists as well, but it's not as blatantly obvious, or, you know, we don't get calluses on our hands right away like that. Definitely in our soul, but not like that. As creatives, we have to deal with rejection. And this was such a visual, visceral example of this rejection and preparing for rejection, and also the reward. I found it really interesting that a lot of people were willing to go through this, because it isn't like, oh, you go through this audition and they keep you for 8 hours or a week and tell you after that. No, they didn't let these performers know that they were selected for the show until 8 months down the road. So they were like making them like, you know, how bad do you really want this? Which really seems kind of abusive. It made me think, why do we put up with that? Like, why do we contribute to a system that makes us work so hard that it almost feels abusive, right? So not only sometimes do we have to audition, but sometimes we have to pay for these auditions, right? If you're an artist and you're sending in submission fees, $35 for a rejection, another $35 for a rejection. Why do we do that? I mean, yes, someone has to win. Might as well be you. But whoa, come on. Create a system where your odds are for you, not against you. So it was really interesting. I think also a lot of these artists, a lot of these performers are really addicted to the feeling, and I count myself in this group, to the feeling of moving forward, of building momentum, and feeling like you're contributing and doing something, moving forward even though you get a rejection, even though you don't make it to the final call, but you're moving forward regardless of rejection. The show was really depressing, and I think it contributes to this feeling of just wanting to break down and cry at any moment. A Chorus Line, if you're not familiar with it, is a musical about a group of performers auditioning for a Broadway play and them telling their stories. It's fantastic. But really, the magic about the show, the magic about this documentary that I watched last night, was not necessarily the heart-wrenching story of the artist, which I completely related to, but it was also amazing to hear about how it came about, because it came about initiative. I mean, everything comes from initiative, right? But this in particular hit a nerve, because the writer of the book, as they call it, Michael Bennett, invited a bunch of his comrades, a bunch of his fellow performers, artists, to share their stories, and they recorded it. He recorded them talking about their personal experiences growing up, how they became in love with art, how they became in love with performing, and what it was like for them. And that became the seeds of A Chorus Line. So you'll hear the story of a girl who was talented but had no sex appeal. You hear about a performer who was doing drag and then was discovered by his parents at a performance, and then they disowned him on the spot. I mean, it's beautiful. These raw encounters, these raw experiences of artists. I highly recommend it. But the beautiful thing is that this initiative that this one artist did, he said, nope, I'm not going to send in that $35 fee and get rejected. I'm going to create my own event, my own show. That's brilliant. As I record this podcast, it's September 2020, and I'm participating in this fantastic challenge called Septembrelage. And it's created by these two amazing women, Ariane Velasqua and Elsa Boding Leon. They created Septembrelage. They took the initiative to create a prompt for every day for artists to create collages. Now, I'm super grateful because they invited me personally. I'm literally that type of person that needs like an engraved invitation, because otherwise I won't leave my house or I won't go anywhere. I know, standing on ceremony, no good. But they invited me, I got a text, and I'm like, heck yeah, I'm gonna play. It's so beautiful to have this initiative from these two artists who invited me. And it's so nice to have a structure, right? So these prompts are very loose, but at the same time, they give you a structure to follow. The first one, which was very poetic, was the navel of the world. Wow, right? Like, what would you do? Think about that. Even if you're a writer or a dancer, what would you do with that? And I mean, that's the magic, right? Like, you have this list of prompts. Take them to another realm. Take them to the realm of poetry, to the realm of dance. How would you interpret the navel of the universe? So I did that with collage, and it was such a spiritual and poetic experience. So I highly recommend it, and I really want to thank them for doing that and really inviting me and taking the initiative to do this, because you never know what's going to happen with your ideas, right? They've planted the seed and I've reaped the benefit of their work, and here I am making my collages. I've sold a few. So we're creating economies here, right? The creative economy. So it starts just like that. Are you an artist or want to be, but can use a guide, a cheerleader, and a coach? I'm excited to announce that I'm now officially coaching artists. Let's work together on a project-based, result-driven outline to get you into a state of prolific flow.
Because artists like us don't seek validation. We create our own opportunities to shine. Go to prolificflow.com and drop me a line. Now is our time. Let's work together.
But we really have to move. We have to get some momentum and move. Right now, we're kind of just staring at a big pile of poop. All right, this requires a backstory. I'm going somewhere with this. I live next to water. It's beautiful. It's very populated. There's lots of people walking their dogs and on their bicycles. So on one particular beautiful summer's day, my husband and I decided to go and finally enjoy the fact that we live by the water. So we sat at a bench and we noticed that there was a huge, massive, monumental dump of poo. Yeah, sorry. Trigger warning, sorry. Huge. At any rate, I was in a really great mood. I didn't have a bag to pick it up. I couldn't be bothered. I had my drink. Yes, it was a beautiful gin drink with rose flavoring. Yes, I've become that person. We were having a great time. The sun was going down. It looked beautiful. The Manhattan skyline was just ablaze. There was a hue of pink. I was cool. But there was this huge piece of poop that everybody was acknowledging. And here's the rub. Maybe 15 people, it's that busy, 15 people passed by, and every single person said, "What a jerk, what an asshole, who does this?" And they went away. All of these people acknowledged the poop, felt very righteous, cursed the person that did it, and walked away. Granted, they all had bags in their hands because they were walking their own dogs. Nobody took the initiative to pick up the poop. I was in another plane. I was enjoying my drink. I was enjoying my view. My husband, on the other hand, was kind of curious about this whole incident, and he kept looking at people. So my attention was diverted. And I kept looking at people, and I was like, oh my God, this is such a perfect analogy to the stress of this moment, of this pandemic, of this horrible election. We're all talking about this poop and letting it make us be sanctimonious, making us judge, making us angry, but very few of us are taking the initiative to do anything about it, to take a bag and just dig in there and throw it away. Like I said, I was in another plane, I didn't want to be bothered. But at some point, you can look away so far without being influenced by these things. Even if you're in a good mood, even though if you're in a good mental space, believe me, the environment will affect you. Eventually, a couple came by and they picked it up. And I kid you not, I was like, you know what? God bless you. You are a great human being. And they were high as a kite. So they thought I was crazy, but really appreciated the blessings. But it was too late. I was already in a funk because I was like affected by this poop and realizing how excited and willing people are to judge and curse and point out how horrible the world is before actually doing something. So I'm telling you, we have to take the initiative to pick up the poop. Or if you're not on that poop plane, then leave. Because it wasn't enough for me to just look away from the poop. Nope. I sat there long enough and it affected me and now I had poop all over me. All right, enough of this poop analogy. But seriously, if you're not going to pick up the poop, leave, because it will get on you. The great escape. How the hell do we escape this? If you're not going to pick up the poop, or if you're going to pick up the poop and leave, how are we going to escape this? We have to take the initiative right now. Where will you be in the next 6 months? Now, I'm just asking you this because I'm literally asking myself, where the hell am I going to be in 6 months? I know, it hurts. Hi, I'm the 40-year-old man who's on the verge of tears, right? It hurts to think about where we're going to be in 6 days, in 6 hours, in 6 minutes, let alone in 6 months. But relax. Let's start with what we can control. Maybe just planning to be okay is enough, right? I definitely plan to be okay in 6 months. Even if the sky falls, if I can be okay with my husband, if I can keep collaging, all right, that's my goal. But if we can go a little bigger, if we can muster up the strength, the courage, to imagine bigger, which I know you can and I know I can, what does that look like? Because that is the escape. So let's start with what we know, with what we can. As I keep doing these podcasts, I know eventually I'm going to hit 100. My 100th episode will be in December. So that keeps me going. That keeps me really optimistic and really excited. What am I going to do? How am I going to celebrate? Because that's a feat, right? That's something that I've created. That's some initiative that I've taken. How do I want to celebrate this? How do I want to share this moment with people in my six-month plan? And as always, part of my plan is to make my work accessible, to sell my collages, to find them in people's hands. And how do I do that? By talking to people, by sharing my art and not being afraid to share it, and not being afraid that I'm being egotistical, because I know that a lot of you, and I've heard a lot of you, who are scared to share your work, to share your face, because you don't want to seem egotistical, you don't want to seem like a show-off, or like one of those Instagram selfie people. But listen, you are the last artist. You have to show up for your people. You have to let them see what you look like. Let them see you thriving. I literally just did a selfie challenge where I asked people to print out, non-archival printer, a selfie. One of those thirsty post-workout selfies. I did it. You can go to my page, check it out. I look better in the picture than I do in person, but that's okay. That's the point. And collage on it. Because when you can look at your face and not be embarrassed and not feel shy and not see anything wrong with it and just accept it as your face and collage on it and imagine a better version of yourself, that's power. With mine, I put some flowers, I put some birds, I put some tattoos on my face. I mean, I was a little precious. I was like, oh, I look so nice. I don't want to fuck up my face. But I was able to take it somewhere. And I invited and asked other people to do it. And guess what? They did. And they shared with me. But very few of them wanted to post it publicly. And I get it. I get it. But that's fine. The fact that you were able to create something you weren't necessarily going to share on Instagram is where power begins. Because eventually, you get congratulated for the things that you do in private that take you to the next level. And that's where we're at. Right now, we're working down low, making plans for 6 months for a great escape so that when we're ready to explode and be out in the world, we'll be out in the world as better versions of ourselves. A mantra that I've been thinking a lot about that I heard somewhere, has strong religious connotations, but it feels right, is my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It has religious connotation, but as a mantra, I take it for its message. Because just like those artists applying for juried shows, just like those performers auditioning for a chorus line, that is our burden. And a burden, I know it sounds scary, but it doesn't have to be, right? We're born as people into this world, and what's the meaning of life, right? I really think the meaning of life is to toil, to have a burden, to have a purpose. And the only time it becomes painful is when we allow someone else to choose our toil, our burden. When society tells you, you have to do this, you have to do that. If you're an artist and someone tells you you have to be a dentist, ouch. If you're an artist and someone tells you you have to be a postman, ouch. Maybe you can come to a center where that's okay. But if you are struggling and fighting it, ouch. You can choose. You can choose for it to be light, for it to be easy. Or else someone will choose for you, right? This is how you escape, realizing you're mostly there where you want to be. So in 6 months, if you want to be making art, if you want to be creating a safe space to share and explore creative ideas, you can do that right now. We escape this doom when we realize we are in our center of power and move from there. My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
want to share your thoughts on the conversation? Reach out on Instagram at StuConPodcast or visit the website studioconfessions.com. Follow me and check out my work at Art Engineer. Please leave a review on whichever platform you're listening on. It goes a long way. Thanks for listening. If you heard anything that moved you, please share it. You are the spark that can ignite a thousand flames. I am Luis Martin, the Art Engineer, sharing with you what moves me.